Business Class is brought to you by the Tourism Academy, harnessing the power of science, business psychology, and adult education to advance the tourism industry and build sustainable economies. Learn how to engage your community, win over stakeholders, and get more visitors at tourismacademy.org.
All right, Steve Ekstrom here, host of the Tourism Academy's Business Class podcast. Today's guest is somebody that you may have met already. But if not, I am pleased to introduce you to Barbara Karasek. Barbara, welcome to Business
morning.
Class.
Good morning, Stephen. Thank you so much for having me today.
So for those who don't know you and who don't know how you are tied in with the tourism industry, would you mind taking a moment to explain?
Of course, yes. I am one of the co-owners and CEO of Paradise Advertising and Marketing, and we are a full-service advertising agency that is dedicated to promoting and building tourism campaigns for destinations around the country. So we are dedicated to the industry and dedicated to destination marketing.
What were you like as a kid?
As a kid, my parents would say I was very curious, mischievous, and high energy. So, you know, back in those days, we in the summertime, you know, when school was out, you know, we were outside playing all the time. I was a sports nut and, you know, an academic as well and a musician. So my parents made sure that we were well-rounded and curious, just really, really curious. And we tried everything.
How do you see some of those traits being a benefit to you now?
You know, I come from a family of educators, and I think lifelong learning is not lost on me, that we are constantly learning about ourselves, the world around us, others. And I think having that mindset that you don't know everything and that there's always something to discover every day, even in something so simple and something so mundane, or discovering a new country for the very first time, or a new flavor profile. There's this era of wonderment that has just been ingrained in me ever since I was born.
Do you remember the first trip you took?
I do, actually. We traveled a lot as family members. My parents were educators, so we had the summers off, and we took road trips. And we would pack up the car and we would go to different states, different parks. We camped a lot. And one of the very first memories I have, we were not living in Florida, but we took our summer vacation to Florida. And I remember seeing the Gulf of Mexico for the very first time. And I remember saying, wow, where's the other side? I just remember that so distinctly, like just being in awe that there's no finish line to it, at least in my mind as a kid.
What's something that you hope others get to experience before they die?
Wow, that is a wonderful question. I'll answer it two ways. One, I'll answer it for myself. I hope that I get to see Antarctica or the Arctic Circle, because I know someday those may not exist anymore. And I would like to at least have that memory in my journal and in my mind and in my heart. And for others, I would like to see and wish that anybody that has something on their bucket list is achieved, something big or something small. It could be going just to the next county, to the next state, or seeing snow for the first time, or seeing a family member that they've never met. Those types of things are experiences that enrich your lives, but it can also impact generations to come by your oral history and your oral narratives of what you share with others. We all have an impact on others. And the personal and the physical experiences are one thing. And then it's the connectivity between people, I think also, which is another greater gift that we all have through the world of travel and through the world of our experiences, to make sure that we share how those things have impacted us and maybe inspire others along the way.
It's interesting that you mentioned the connectivity of people. This podcast was started because there's a lot of media about place, things to do, where to stay, where to eat. However, what most of us remember is the people that we meet, how people live, how people are the same, even when everything else is appears to be drastically different. How do you capture that sense of people when talking about place?
Well, interesting. Places don't exist without the people. And conversely, people don't exist without the place. And if you are approaching those entities independently, we're missing out on the real value, right? The human body is primarily made up of water, and so is our world, right? So if you really look at things maybe a little philosophically, we're all connected, right? And we approach travelers not as a traveler, as an individual, if you will. We approach our philosophy is, we target, humans, individuals who choose to travel, right? It's all about the individual and the mindset and the heart and the purpose and the intention. So the sense of place and the placemaking, I get it. And the branding, I get it. But it truly is, to your point, the individuals and the human component that are on the front lines of experiences in the world around us. Whether it's local or somewhere far-fetched in the far corners of the earth, very rarely will you get to experience any place truly devoid of the memories that are made by the individuals that choose or are selected in a random way to give you that experience about the place that you visit. And it's not lost on us.
What's a piece of advice you would give to somebody who is welcoming tourists into their city? That is the biggest coffee mug I think I've ever seen.
From Paris.
That's so funny. I'm drinking. I've got my coffee over here in a mug. This is totally going to stay in the episode. What is a piece of advice that you would give to somebody who is working on the front lines in tourism, welcoming visitors to their city or town, in how to bridge that gap between people?
I think it's having that dialogue, right? And making somebody just aware and making it known, top of mind, that if you're a frontline worker, you matter. And you matter so immensely to the value proposition of what people do when they come to visit and the experience, right, that they're expecting and you're delivering as the frontline worker, that there truly is not just a physical connection, but an emotional connection between two individuals, right? At any given moment in time, in a grocery store, at the gas station, in a restaurant, at a museum, on a theme park ride, walking on the beach, and you just happen to have that eye contact with the lifeguard. It's the emotional connection between individuals in this world truly can make or break somebody's day. And it can also make or break their experience in a particular place. And opening those dialogues from all different levels, from the destination to the front line, from the front line, back to the destination, but also as the agency partner, we try to bridge that gap. We try to inspire that type of level of consciousness, right, in a different way and in a real authentic way. I love going into any destination, any restaurant, any museum, and getting lost in the moments and organically starting those conversations. And those people don't know me from the man in the moon, but I'm there to let them know that we hear you, you're validated, and man, you are absolutely making my day today the best it's ever been. And it's from the heart. And that's where I think, you know, particularly this time, now more than ever, the individuals who are on the front lines of experiences and delivering that experience and the emotional connection to anybody in the world need to be celebrated and heard and, quite frankly, just hugged and thanked.
You know, you mentioned something that you do when you travel, which is to allow yourself to get lost. In our team, we have the person who has the regimented schedule. Every minute must be accounted for weeks before they leave. And then you have somebody like me who has been traveling nonstop for the last year and a half in an RV, and I can't tell you where I'm going to be tomorrow night. How do you strike that balance, or what do you see as the ideal balance between traveling for purpose and intent, and making part of that purpose and intent to be not intentional?
Sure.
Does that make sense? That's a really terrible way to ask that question.
No, it makes perfect sense. And here's why. You know, just like with any trip, right? There's certain must-haves, right? And when you go, especially on business, right? Or it's purpose-driven, you have a few things that you must hit, right? But I think what's more important is to make sure that, you know, that's 30% of your time. The other 70% is the exploration, the things that you dig deep and you get down those rabbit holes of the blog posts of who I want to go meet little Angie and Miss Angie who made the pie at the farm. And I'm going to go to the farm and see if she's there today. Like, go on the journey, go down the honey hole of the treasures and go seek that. I read a book many, many years ago when I was traveling around the country for some other positions I've had, and it's called Blue Highways. And it's not taking the interstates, it's taking the country roads. And I think the road less traveled sometimes gives you that true, authentic human connection with people. You know, it's not lost on me, and people make fun all the time. You know, oh my gosh, I'll just stop at the side of a road and just talk to somebody at their mailbox because they live there. And then you find out that they work there somewhere, somehow on the front lines of a tourism component. And you want to open the hearts and open the minds of others that you interact with along the way. And if you're so structured and so scripted with the regimented component, you lose that. You lose the sense of wonderment. You lose the experience of being lost and discoveries that you didn't expect to find. The unexpected sometimes actually reveal the most.
When you think about yourself in a position of leadership, who do you look up to?
Wow. That's a great question. So, you know, from our industry, from the tourism perspective, there's, you know, I stand on the shoulder of so many giants. You know, all of the great leaders at Destinations International, US Travel, Brand USA, you know, the real you know, global leaders, some of the folks in the World Tourism Organization and the United Nations that I'm so passionate about with sustainable tourism and tourism 2030 and getting our world rallied behind sustainability on a global level. you know, but from a human, you know, I was a sociology major in college. I didn't study advertising. I didn't study marketing, but I studied people. And I look at some of the greatest philosophers and sociologists, as well as my father, who was a psychologist, a licensed psychologist, a mental health counselor, and professor of sociology and psychology. I look at a lot of those traditional teachings and readings that I studied academically as truly the foundation for that. You know, I look at big brands. I look at, you know, Muhtar Kent was a big, big influence on me when he was at the Coca-Cola company, and transformational leadership with many market certain types of brands to people, you know. And I also look at, you know, innovation, being willing to take risks, I think is a big component of leadership. And, you know, it's not lost on me that I have a really interesting position in the industry to, you know, find my way as a leader of inspiration for others. That's my purpose. My purpose is to serve others while I am here on this planet. And I'm just so fortunate to be able to be in a position to be able to do that to tourism, but also what I call through tourism. Mm-hmm.
You dropped a name in there, a business name, one of the Fortune 500 companies, Coca-Cola. Tell us a little bit about your background before stumbling into tourism.
Sure. I was studying sociology and then mass communication, and I was interning actually at an ad agency that was owned by the gentleman who owned Paradise at the time. So came full circle when we acquired Paradise. But as luck would have it, an internship with the United States Olympic Committee turned into a 12-year career, and I sidestepped. So I started, you know, working with the United States Olympic Committee, traveling around the world with them for all of the different U.S. multinational and multi-sport games, and saw so many countries and so many, you know, wonderful opportunities representing the United States, and eventually came back to my marketing roots, and NASCAR took a chance on me as a consumer marketing leader. And from there, my career just springboarded into sports and entertainment marketing with NASCAR, PGA Tour, SeaWorld Entertainment. And then once we issued our IPO with SeaWorld Entertainment, we had exit strategies. And then I came into, you know, entrepreneurship with my husband, and we acquired Paradise from the gentleman who I had, you know, interned with. My experiences, number one, globally, as a global marketing leader, are unsurpassed of what I could have ever expected my life to have been. And two, all of those experiences, you know, are, you know, part of a big foundation of where I am today. And I don't ever take lightly, you know, where I've been, but also more importantly, the purpose in which I have today to take all of those learnings, share it with others, and hopefully inspire many generations to come. But I was very, very fortunate to work with, you know, Fortune 500 companies globally, and be in a position and have a very important seat at the table. You know, when it wasn't very common for women to have those seats at those tables, and I couldn't be prouder of where I'm at, but I couldn't also be prouder of those leaders who helped open those doors and sometimes push me through those doors with faith and a little bit of fear, but just courage and grit and hard work to succeed along the way. I'm very, very fortunate to have been where I've been in my career path.
What's something that smaller destinations may not realize that they have in common with Fortune 100 companies?
Smaller destinations can realize that there's a lot of transferable knowledge base, right, to come down, that they are a brand, that they are valued and that they have an enterprise value. It's all about scale, right? So certain brands, like the Fortune 500 and Fortune 100 companies, have small brands that are a market leader in and of their own right. Not all products within a big Fortune 500 or Fortune 100 brand are as big as Coca-Cola, right? Or Coke Zero or Diet Coke. They're not. So if you look at things in perspective, you can actually own your category, even if it's a small niche category. And again, translating that to a small destination, own it. Own your category, own your space, own your region, and own the assets in such the most positive, authentic way that you can actually grow your small destination to the best of your ability. And actually not have to worry about competing with the big brands that, quite frankly, aren't really in your category or in your space. And there's a lot to be said for that. And I'm very thankful that you asked that question.
You know, I hear it's a lot about leaning into that uniqueness. What is something you do in your spare time that might surprise people?
I love music. I'm an old soul. I love, my dad was a guitarist in the village, right? In New York City in the 60s. And he was a bass player. And that's how he grew up, paying for his master's degree at NYU. Gigging, right? Gigging's rhythm and blues. And, it's not lost on me that you'll find, the Charlie Tuckers on my radio or the blues. You get most things from, we grew up listening to, Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, and, Charlie Tucker is on my playlist, and it's, all of that era, right? It's very nostalgic for me. And a wonderful time of my childhood that I find a lot of comfort in. And I also volunteer my time with an organization called Rethreaded. It's based in Florida, and it's a wonderful nonprofit organization that provides career paths and sustainable manufacturing of upcycled products for women who have survived the sex trade and sex trafficking. And I'm very proud that we have provided a new facility here in Florida for them. We've employed over 55 people in this facility, and all of them are on a good road to recovery through career path and workforce and employment. So,
is there anything I didn't ask that you wish I did?
No. I focus on my team. I focus on being a good steward and what can I contribute, today and tomorrow in the world around me. And my purpose is truly just to serve others. It truly is.
Is there anything you'd like to ask me?
I would ask you, knowing that you don't know where you're going tomorrow, is there anything that we discussed today that might inspire you on how you might approach your destination tomorrow?
We have something in common, and that is that stopping to make that small talk and have that conversation with people. And it was very refreshing to hear somebody else describe it. So that is certainly something that I take with me everywhere I go. you know, I talk to the person that's next to me in line at the taco stand in, you know, the middle of nowhere in Baja, or walking down the street in San Angelo, Texas last week, I just stopped and asked some kids who are eating ice cream, you know, what do you love most about this town? And, you know, it's those experiences that allow you to see a destination through a different set of eyes. And I think travelers, and the research has shown this over and over again, they want to feel like locals when they travel. They want that authentic experience. And I think having the courage to strike up that conversation is what allows you to feel like a local. And if you don't have the courage to strike up that conversation, that's when you hire a local tour guide. That's when you go on the pub crawl, or you go on the walk, or you look on the DMO's website and you see what sort of event is happening that day, and you just go so you can actually talk to people. And I think it's the talking to people and talking with people that makes every experience more enjoyable. And the other thing that I would say, and I think this relates back to that 30-70, 30% purpose-driven, 70%, you know, just exploration, is to, my train of thought just derailed. Whatever. I'll come back to that. It'll come to me later on. That's funny. Well, it was something about, I don't remember. Train of thought. Totally just jumped the tracks.
Yeah.
But yeah,
we apply. So Coca-Cola has, I learned a lot from them in my tenure. They have a 60-30-10. So, 30%, right, is your core. 60% is your what you call, you know, kind of like the, it rounds out your nurturing side of the thing. And then, you know, 10% is shoot for the moon. So, you know, when you look at so often when we go in and we do immersions, and we even just go on business trips to a client and go see a client for even just a meeting, we're like, you know, we purposefully structure, right? It's almost like planning a vacation. Honestly, it's like, mm-hmm. You have to schedule your downtime, schedule mm-hmm. your wandering moments. I'm excited for you. And I'm excited to hear where, like, what blue highways you might be on tomorrow. What little known paths, right?
I have found myself behind God's back more times than
Same. I know. But it is, like, isn't it wonderful though? Just like you said, just talking to some random individual on a random Wednesday or Thursday. You know what I mean? Just, and I go to like this Oprah moment, like when she did that road trip with her and Gail all those years mm-hmm. ago, right? And they just knocked on people's doors. Like Charlie Tucker actually has it. Every man has a story. Everybody has a story. Charlie Tucker said that actually. Everybody has a story. And it's like, how quickly can you peel back that onion? Because you're just so curious. You know, you're like, I want to know. What is that man doing over there? Is he picking beans? Is he snapping beans on this front porch? What is he doing?
Yep.
You know,
I stumbled into a small restaurant. You know, I had three chairs. It was a kitchen outside somebody's front porch in Mexico. And I looked across the street and I saw that there was some sort of activity happening on the front patio across the street. And I asked the restaurateur, I said, you know, what does he do? Oh, he makes belts and shoes. Well, I'm proud to show you a custom-made briefcase that I had the leather craftsman make for me. But that kept me in that small, rinky-dinky little town an extra three nights because I was waiting for my briefcase.
Yes.
But it's those kind of moments, you know, you have to leave room for that. And you have to, you know, before I walk into a meeting with a client, I give myself an hour and a half to just walk around somewhere around their office and just chat with somebody or get lunch locally. So by the time I get to their office, did you see this? Did you see that? Yes, of course I did.
That's right. I have been invited to anniversary parties, birthday mm-hmm. parties, church, mm-hmm. we end up, you know, I was in Sicily many years ago, and I ended up leaving my hotel and going to stay above in above the people's garage, because I met them at, I went and bought fruits and veggies at the farmer's market from them. And they said, where are you? Just come crash with our, crash in our granny flat. Okay.
Isn't that great? Well, yeah. I love that kind of stuff.
Yep. Yep.
And so, well, thank you for taking the time to chat with me. Gosh. I appreciate it. If folks want to learn more or get in touch with you and the team at Paradise, how would they do that?
Yep. You can find me on LinkedIn, and you can also find Paradise at paradiseadv.com, or hit us up on our social channels and just say hello, start the conversation. And we thank you so much for this opportunity, Stephen. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you.